This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 1:30. Our email address, nationradio at theteam1260.com. You are like less than 24 hours away from being in trouble unless you get something nice for Mother's Day. I'm just saying, a friendly reminder to you, sometime in the next 24 hours, it might be nice to make a phone call or drop off something nice or to make breakfast for the one you love or for, you know, obviously your mom, give her a call, that sort of thing. It's important because if it doesn't happen, you know, it's going to be a tough year. Just saying, okay? On the line with us now from Oklahoma City is Jim Byers. Jim, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Beautiful spring day down here. How are things up there?
Well, we've got a little bit of rain, but it was gorgeous earlier, and it'll be lovely late, and I don't have to shovel anything that'll fall from the sky today.
That's great.
So it's all good. Hey, listen, you know, when we were talking, I think it was last week or the week before, to Oklahoma City Barons head coach Nelson, he mentioned that in his opinion, Petrie, Omark, and Hartikainen stood out among those first-year AHL kids that played down in Oklahoma. Would you agree with that list?
Yeah, definitely, especially throughout the bulk of the season. If you look at, let's say, from about mid-November up until around the first of the year. I mean, once those guys kind of got their legs underneath them, they were all three exceptional. And I think we saw from their time in Edmonton that these guys are all just, you know, you don't want to use the term can't miss, but guys that are going to play substantially the next few years in the National Hockey League. And, you know, they came back to us for the playoffs and, you know, some pieces fit a little bit better than others come playoff time, but you could almost see their games and just that little extra jump in their stride and their strength just elevated just from the time they spent in the NHL, let's say in the late winter and into the early spring when they came back to the playoffs.
Is Petrie going to be a kid, and did you see down there that he was playing a little tougher or able to battle and win battles along the boards as time went on?
You know, I really didn't see that much improvement in that sort of physical play over the course of the year. That's not to say that he won't become a more physical force. He's a decent-sized kid. He could probably afford to get a little bit stronger or a little bit thicker as time goes on. I mean, I just, in my view, mainly saw still primarily a guy that relies on speed and smarts and finesse. But, I think the playoffs were a little bit odd. I mean, it was just he was working with different partners and partners he was perhaps less familiar with. And he did have a couple of subpar games in the playoffs, as pretty much everybody did on the team at times. But I think there's the potential there for him to win more battles. But I really didn't see it a whole lot in the little cameo he had with us at the end of the year.
And during the time that you saw Colton Tubert, some people have mentioned to me, and I've read online that he is got a little bit of mean-spiritedness to him, like a guy who can really thump you and intimidate. Is that a fair assessment of his ability defensively?
Definitely. We never had to see him fight the whole time he was with the Barons from the trade deadline on. There wasn't, you know, we didn't do that much fighting, period, but he never had to do it. But as far as the physical play, delivering punishment if necessary in front of the net, definitely. His physical presence in the third game of the Barons series with Hamilton turned the whole game around. He knocked Aaron Paluschai out of the subsequent game in the series, and that was a main reason that the Barons won both games 3 and 4 of that series on home ice. And he was a man possessed in game 3 of the playoffs, especially when it was played in Oklahoma City. And when he turned that physical game on, which was pretty much all the time, he was definitely a physical force, and those reports are definitely true.
The first time we talked, and that was going back a while, I was just struck by you mentioning one of my favorite kids who played up here most of the year, that Liam Reddix was a guy the team missed a lot after his call-up. Would you say that that's the guy you still look back on and go, man, if we'd kept him, we probably would have had a little smoother ride to the playoffs?
Yes. You know, you have to look at a guy like Reddix, who's been to the NHL even prior to this past season, and is just a touch older than some of these other guys. You have to kind of take your NHL goggles off for a second and look at them just from the standpoint of an American Hockey League player playing against other players of comparable or slightly younger age in the AHL. And he really is a dominant type AHL player. When he left Oklahoma City early in January, he was among the league leaders in shorthanded goals, for scoring the first goal of a game. He never seemed to have a bad first period. He never seemed to have a bad penalty kill. His speed is hugely dangerous at this level, and the AHL can be a pretty fast-paced league. But he added an element to the Barons that really was lacking all the way through to the end of the season. You know, they still had good penalty killers. They still had a lot of weapons. But toward the end of the year, you could neutralize the line centered by Brad Moran that included Colin McDonald and Alex Giroux. If you neutralize that line, as Hamilton was able to do for the most part in the playoffs, there weren't a whole lot of other offensive weapons to step to the fore. And Reddick, earlier in the season, especially when he was with Omark and O'Mara, really provided that counterbalance and created almost co-top lines. And from the penalty kill to the breakaway-type speed to the other intangibles, they really did miss him.
I've read online, and we've had reports up here in Edmonton, that Oklahoma City really did respond to this team, showed up, wore the colors. Would you consider this a successful first season in Oklahoma City for the Barons?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, the attendance figures aren't where I think anybody wants them to be long-term, but definitely. There was a year here without hockey, and there were a lot of years, decades actually, without hockey at this level here. And you're having to reintroduce people to a different level product, a product where on certain days, some of their favorite players might be playing for the Edmonton Oilers. And that's an adjustment period that people have to get used to here hockey-wise. But I think the fans that came out were enthusiastic. There's more people here that know the game than some people realize. I think we really won over the more hardcore fans. I think we still have to attract more of the sort of casual fans, the tire kickers and situations like that. But I think post the College Football Bowl season until the end of the regular season, the crowds, especially on the prime dates, began to really pick up. And I think it's just a matter of time before that attendance gets built back up.
Yeah, usually with cities, it's a matter of having one or two really deep playoff runs, and then you've got a huge fan base moving forward. I like talking to the play-by-play guys because you watch every game. You see the good games and the bad games. Who was your MVP for the Barons this year, your personal MVP?
You know, that's a really good question. With teams at this level, and I encountered this during my years as a AAA baseball broadcaster, that the personality of the team and even the complexion of the team really changes over the course of the year, and you almost have to view it in phases. But if you went from day one to the last day of the year and looked at a guy that really made the team go, I'm not so sure that I wouldn't vote for Colin McDonald as the team MVP. You know, he definitely benefited from the ice time that he got and from playing with the wingmen or with the centerman Brad Moran and Alexander Giroux. His line was clearly, helped him out. But he also took advantage of it. And he's such a well-prepared athlete and such a prepared professional player. And his shot has gotten so good. And he really could absorb some punishment in front of the net. And he was the guy that was here from day one until the end of the year. If you asked me on the first of the year, it would have been Reddick. If you asked me late in the season, it might have been Martin Gerber. Mm-hmm. But for the entirety of the season, even though Alex Giroux had a wonderful season, and I think a lot of us would love to see him back, I think Colin McDonald would probably be that guy.
Interesting. Okay, it kind of dovetails to my next question, which is of the events that happened, I'm going to list them off here. Linus Omark's 5-goal game, McDonald's leading the league in goals, Brian Helmer's 1,000th AHL game and becoming the top-scoring defender in the league's history. Which of those events, or if I've missed one, would you consider to be the highlight of the year for Oklahoma City fans?
You know, it's a shame that it happened on a Sunday afternoon during NFL and college football season, but Omark's 5-goal game on November 7th, there were only about 2,500 people in the building that day. It was a late Sunday afternoon game, but it's really a shame that we didn't have more people there. Nazem Kadri was in that game, and I tried to talk him up coming into the broadcast leading up to that, but hey, you know, you need to come out. This is the only time the Toronto Marlies are here. A lot of tradition there. Kadri is a player of a high pick and all of that, trying to give people a little essence of what it's like to have an Oiler Maple Leaf AHL matchup, if you will. And Omar comes out and completely steals the show, absorbed a hit, by the way, from Kadri on the end boards that was not a very popular play. He kind of went up high on him, and Omar ducked it. But I think Omar's goals were really a galvanizing moment because not a whole lot of people saw it, but everybody heard about it. And the other accomplishments you mentioned, Brian Helmer added a tremendous amount to this team in the room and on the ice. And we look forward to seeing him again next year when he'll be 39 years old when the season starts. And certainly Colin McDonald on a 80th game of the regular season, the final game in Houston when he did slightly eclipse Nigel Dawes by one goal for the goal-scoring title was a big moment, a huge accomplishment. But to me, you can't beat Omar.
Yeah. The run to the playoffs and then the postseason, that was a huge deal. I don't think people realize how close it was at any given time. If they'd gone on any kind of a losing streak, the Barons would have been out of the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely, because not only was there a huge race for the third, fourth, and fifth playoff spots, because really Milwaukee and Houston in the Barons division pretty much had that locked up, but they also, Oklahoma City also had to get by two or three teams because they were laying sixth or seventh in that division, in that 18 division, coming down the stretch of the season. So, you know, heading into, they came off a 9-game road trip from the middle of March to the last games that they played in March, and they lost 4 shootouts on that road trip. And they got a lot of standing points. I think they only lost a couple of games of regulation on that trip. But, you know, they lost 4 shootouts. They were laying in about 6th place, and they came home and they won back-to-back games by shutout at home and started to put the heat on the teams right with them, San Antonio and Chicago, who wound up being nosed out. And so it really was, they faced must-win type games for the last 2 or 3 weeks and almost always responded to the challenge. And to be able to go and win in Cedar Park, Texas, against the Texas Stars the next to last night of the season when things were far from guaranteed, that was a huge victory. And, you know, they didn't quite maintain that sort of, I'm not sure what you would say, swagger is kind of an overused word, but that sense of confidence, they didn't quite maintain that into the playoffs, which was a disappointment, but I don't think it was from lack of effort. It was just the, you know, the run had kind of come to its end. But, boy, it certainly was a terrific run.
Real quick ones here. The club employed a lot of late signings and call-ups this year. Which of those kids impressed you the most during their time with the team?
Well, you know, the two guys that got out of college or university hockey, Tanner House and Hunter Tremblay, were two guys that came from, you know, really successful programs at New Brunswick and Maine and came in and they played quite well. House didn't get much of a chance in the playoffs, but Trombley did. And I think we'll see both of those guys in the AHL next year. And those are guys that, you know, looking at it from the AHL perspective, certainly these are guys that step right in and fit very well. And, you know, they both are guys who are slightly more advanced age-wise than the average prospect. So their development's going to have to be accelerated, you know, to become regular NHLers, but it's always possible. Another kid that was impressive in a very limited cameo was Brandon Davidson, who's likely to be back in the Western League next year. He was picked up on an amateur tryout deal late in the season, played in the very last playoff game in Hamilton on game 6, and he was quite impressive. And, of course, you know, obviously we've talked a lot about Colton Tubert, but he's a guy that everyone knew about being a former first-round pick. But, you know, he was impressive. But of the guys that they collected a lot of guys late, and we really didn't get to see much out of Martin Marincin. He only played in the last regular season game. We didn't see Curtis Hamilton in a game. But I'll tell you, Tremblay and House are guys that, at least at this level, looking forward to the next season, are guys I'm looking forward to seeing.
When did you call AAA baseball?
Actually, I called the Oklahoma City team from 99 to 02. I had a different job in 2003, and then I called it from 04 to last season. So about 11 seasons worth.
Who was the best player you saw on that team?
You know, a guy that's currently injured but a regular for the Texas Rangers, Nelson Cruz, who was a bit of a 4A player, you know, a little bit too good for AAA, but at 26 or 27 had never become established at the big league level. Rangers got him in an 06 trade. He bounced back and forth in 2008. He was the Pacific Coast League's MVP. And I think Nelson Cruz was probably the all-around most talented player I ever saw. I'll tell you what, you know, your early memories tend to be the best, but Rick Ankiel, who of course now is a center fielder, was a
Nationals.
Ran into his Steve Blass disease, and as a left-handed pitcher young in his career, he was probably the most explosive type prospect that I ever saw. Where you saw him, I saw him in 99 and thought, oh, this guy's unbelievable. It's just a shame what happened to his pitching career.
It is.
But those two guys really stick out. And then, you know, the Edmonton Trappers had some guys when they were with the Twins that were very impressive, too. Well, we saw Michael Kadire and guys like that come through. But Nelson Cruz was my all-time favorite.
You know, I love baseball, big-time baseball fan. The best player I ever saw here for the Trappers was Ron Kittle. I don't know if you remember him, but he...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, my God, he hit majestic home runs here in Edmonton. It was 1,000 years ago now, but I enjoyed that. What's next for you? Do you call races during the summertime?
No, I was in horse racing for many years. I wouldn't mind getting back into the sport on a part-time basis here, but I'm just looking at some time off. My arrangement with the Barons is a 3-year deal. We just finished year one, and I only work for them during the hockey season. So looking for a little time off right now and maybe pick up an odd bit of work here and there if it comes along.
Well, we really enjoyed your play-by-play, which, as you know, we carried. And we want to wish you good luck in the summer. Enjoy yourself, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the fall.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm certainly a thrill to be able to broadcast games back to your location and on your station. So thanks a lot. You have a good summer, too.
You too, Jim. That's Jim Byers from the Oklahoma City Barons, play-by-play guy, and I love baseball on radio. I'm telling you, if you have never gotten into that, it's like the best way in the world to enjoy a summer afternoon. And of course, going to the game is cool too. But I tell you, baseball on radio, it's outstanding. This is Nation Radio, Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. You can email us at nationradio@theteam1260.com. And we're back after this.